Dublin Sport Today with Hazel Nolan on Dublin's Q102.
Good evening and welcome along to Dublin Sport Today. I'm Hazel Nolan with you until 7 o'clock. Now, coming up on the show this evening, well, it is a huge weekend for Dublin GAA. The AIB All-Ireland Club Football and Hurling Finals take place on Sunday at Croker. Coola take on Errigal Kieran of Tyrone in the Football Decider, while Nafianna go head-to-head with Sarsfields of Cork in the Hurling Final. Coola's Padder O'Coffey Byrne and Nafianna's Sean Murphy join me in a while to look ahead. While two-time Olympian Jack Woolley is here to chat about his current exploits in Dancing with the Stars, the Woolley Wiggle. You're not going to want to miss that. And his hopes of competing in a third Olympic Games in LA. But first, though, tell me, which would you prefer to go to? A women's football or rugby match or a men's one? Do you think of them differently? Well, a big spotlight was shone this week on the need for visibility of women's sport. New research from Lidl shows a majority of people say they prefer to go to a men's sporting event than a women's one, while almost a quarter believe that women's sport isn't as important as men's sport. A quarter also weren't able to even name a single Irish female sports star. So we went out to find out what you think.
If you want popularity to be a mark of whether or not it's important, then clearly people think men's sports are more important, but you just do what you want to do.
I don't agree on that, no. I think it should be equal.
I coach women's basketball and I have a daughter, and I think having a daughter gives you a different perspective. And no, I don't agree with it at all. I think women's sport is, sometimes it lacks the physicality, and people, you know, sort of harp on that a little bit. But if you look at the skill level and, you know, the competition with it, within its own ecosystem, it's really good and it's good to watch.
And off the top of your head, can you think of a famous Irish sporting athlete?
I can think of one of my good friends, Lindsay Peat, is probably the most rounded sporting athlete of any gender in Ireland, in Ireland's history. Played international soccer, rugby, basketball, and, you know, played for the Irish women's rugby team and still plays competitively rugby now. So
absolutely, yeah. Many. Like probably Mona McSherry, is after her Olympic performance, probably top of mind, but plenty. All the athletics did fantastic at the Olympics.
No, not, oh, there's some runners, but that's about it. No, is a short answer. But I'm not, I couldn't name many athletes anyway.
Interesting. Louise Phelan de Cruz, by the way, asking the questions there. Now, Dublin star Carla Rowe was at the launch of the research at Croke Park, and I nabbed Carla for a chat afterwards to go through some of the findings of that research and to find out, of course, how preparations are going ahead of Dublin's opening match in the National Football League next weekend against Mayo. Carla Rowe, thanks so much for joining me here at Croke Park today. Really, really informative and insightful, I suppose, research today from Lidl at the launch of the Lidl National Women's Football League. Were you surprised by any of the findings? I suppose especially the ones like, you know, the fact that maybe the majority of people surveyed didn't think women's sport was as important as men's sport, or maybe the fact that over 40% of people wouldn't necessarily go along to a game unless they knew somebody. Do those kind of stats kind of come as a surprise to you?
They did and they didn't in some ways. I probably didn't realise the impact that role models had in terms of getting people to actually watch games, you know. And probably in this day and age, it has gone to that. You see with the Irish soccer team, you see with the athletics, they've got role models in the last couple of years or in the last year or two, and that sport has grown hugely. So, yeah, there's a couple there. I think the fact that players in ladies Gaelic football, 43% of us don't think we're role models.
Yeah,
that was probably the one that did jump out at me and what I've been commenting on the most. And yeah, it's probably, as I said, comes with a little bit of having confidence and knowing that you are a role model, but also staying humble. And I know I'm always so grateful for all the work that has been done previously to put me in the position that I'm in.
Welcome to Episode 3 of Sprint for the Line, the making of Team Ireland's athletes. I'm Luke Delaney. Over the course of the Olympic and Paralympic Games, we'll take you on a journey to discover what it takes to become an Olympian. We take a deep dive with behind-the-scenes access to coaches, support staff, families and the athletes themselves to find out just what it takes to make an Olympic dream come true. While we know that our athletes, coaches and backroom staff are incredibly proud and lucky to be representing Team Ireland at the Olympics and Paralympic Games, what's it like for the people closest to our competitors? The families of our athletes have watched their loved ones transition from dreamers to the real deal.
Words really can't describe it because the emotions and all kick in. One minute you're sitting having a visualisation of it, and then the next minute you're sitting with it really on your lap. And for me, it's still taking time to sink in.
This is the first time we'd probably be able to go ourselves, experience the Olympics, and having an athlete there is just unbelievable.
I'm very proud to be his older sister, so he's inspired me a lot.
But do they know the full extent of how big a role they play in their journey?
I have the best siblings in the world. I'm very lucky to call them my best friends, and they have been incredible.
Having those people around me is so, so important. My family and friends, like, they hear me waffle on so much and they just sit there and listen, and sometimes that's all you need.
It was ingrained in me from a young age with my dad and with my mum as well, and people around me just, you know, had that hunger to express myself and get better and just continually improve.
While everyone's voyage to the pinnacle of sport is different, so many factors remain the same. The sacrifices by parents to put their loved ones in the best place possible has now paid off. Kelly Harrington became a two-time Olympic gold medalist in Paris, and just moments after she won her lightweight final bout, her parents Christy and Yvonne took the streets of Portland Row in Dublin to celebrate.
Is to have you here with me. So great, just hold me in your arms and let this moment linger. Take me out at all and I will die.
I am so happy for my family, like, you know, because they get to, go through all this with me, you know, and Mandy, who has been there every step of the way, like, it's not just me, you know, like, and I'm so happy for them. I know they're so happy for me, but I'm just so happy that it's everyone who gets a piece of the pie. I'm not one to sugarcoat anything. It's been extremely difficult the last 3 years, and I, like, there's been times when I thought, like, I'm not gonna get to the Olympics, like, even after I qualified, you know. And I was saying to Mandy, I'd say about three months ago, I don't think I'm even going to win a fight out here because I don't know how I'm feeling, you know, like, I don't feel like I'm in the right place right now. But I do get like that anyways before tournaments, you know. And then we had a camp and stuff before we came out here, and I started to feel myself getting really into the zone, and then I just, like, you start to do the things that you always do, like, and things just started to take shape, and then I started to believe.
Very proud. For the whole community. And where we come from.
When you look around and you see what's here, we're the working class family of tens of thousands in this country, hundreds of thousands in this country. And that's what it means to us, all those people. Brings us all together.
No secrets, hard work, sweat, blood, tears, everything. Well, Kelly was always determined. Always, what she set out to do, she always done. That's it.
Jack Woolley has been representing Ireland in taekwondo in Paris, but despite being at the summit of the sport in the country, his parents have rarely seen him compete.
My parents have actually only seen me compete 3 times since I'm 12. So in the last 13, 14 years, they've only seen me fight 3 times. Because of funding and stuff, it was easier for them to, if they were going to have the money for them to go and travel with me, that would have been extra competition I could have gone to. So yeah, having them there, the last time they seen me fight was actually a Manchester Grand Prix in 2022, the end of 2022. My parents, my best friend and my partner were there, and I actually won a bronze medal.
While the financial strain of competing internationally has been tough for Jack's family, Tokyo bronze medalist Aidan Walsh has had a difficult time out of the ring for another reason.
I struggled a lot with mental health and a lot of issues that were going on, and probably stemming from even that straight, like, even during the last Olympics I was struggling, and I come home and I continued on. I was fighting with myself to retire then, and I ended up, I went to the Commonwealth Games and I done all right at the Commonwealth Games, and I came back and then it just sort of hit my tipping point, and I had enough of the sport, and again just stepping away, it was just, I was done with boxing. I just didn't want to be a part of it, and I generally didn't train at all for 14 months, so that's probably why it is a bit of a surprise to many people who are close to me that I came back and qualified, because they had seen that I was out for so long. I didn't train, I wasn't putting no effort in, like, I was just, I'd stepped away, I was looking for jobs, I started a master's degree, my life was slowly but surely changing into a retired athlete, and I was enjoying it, and that whenever I got the opportunity to come back, I took it. And again, then there was chances that it may not work out, like anything, and I had to just go with it, roll with the punches, as they say, and just hope for the best.
Aidan represented Ireland for our second games in Paris alongside his sister Michaela, but their dad Damien has been an ever-present in their life, both in and out of the ring.
Yeah, well, I think it's tough for any boxer or in any sport. I think we always have the highs and we always have the lows, but it's how you sort of carry yourself through that and be able to have such an amazing team. And Team Ireland on a whole has great people, amazing people on that team, the psychologists, nutritionists, the coaches, and everybody. There are probably people that I've forgotten to say here, but they've all been part of that network that had made all the champions that they have on that team in every sport. So it's a big congratulations, even Team Ireland, from me, that they've created such champions, and without them I don't believe we'd be here either.
How proud are you of your son for coming out and speaking so openly about how he was feeling?
Well, at the end of the day, I think everybody should. I think at the end of the day, I think we all have that. It's just hard, do we want to express those feelings? And at the end of the day, there's a lot of people running around, they're not willing to express it. And for such a person like Aidan and Michaela that can be at the top of the, as Al said, the 1% that can come out and open and let everybody say, you know what, it's okay not to be okay. So if you feel like that, go and speak to somebody, and at the end of the day, it's done them amazing good, and it's helped them on the journey, and there's Aidan back on his feet again from being at the bottom again. But I think sometimes it takes you to go to rock bottom. They appreciate coming back up to the top, and thanks be to God, that's where he is.
How are you up for a quick fire round?
Yeah, okay. I'm good at those.
So, Phil McCarthy, we are doing Taylor Swift songs.
Oh, yes!
Cruel Summer or Karma?
Cruel Summer.
Or Shake It Off?
Oh, Cruel Summer.
Or All Too Well?
10-minute version, or, yeah. Yeah, All Too Well.
Or Love Story?
All Too Well.
Or You're On Your Own, Kid?
You're On Your Own, Kid.
Or Ready For It?
Ready For It.
Or Betty?
Strong. Ready For It.
Or I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Ready For It.
Oh, you're a Ready For It fan. Yeah, I like
I'm
it.
I'm a big Ref TV guy, or Ref guy. Hopefully Ref TV coming soon.
Luke Delaney, TalkSport Ireland editor, back in to chat with us this week ahead of the second round of matches in the Six Nations. And Ireland this weekend are away to Scotland on Sunday. And we're going to look ahead to that in a minute. But I'm curious, because the Scots have gone so long without getting a win over us, are they going to need a little bit of this on Sunday?
Would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Reckon, Luke, are they going to need a bit of William Wallace on Sunday?
I think they might too, but Hazel, I absolutely love it. That would get me up and going for it anyway. Yeah, it sounds fantastic. I think it's going to be another very entertaining game, and you know, if there's any crowd you want on your side, it's certainly Murrayfield on a Six Nations weekend. And if there's one place you probably don't want to go this week, that is probably Murrayfield as well. So definitely in for another tough weekend of action.
Yeah, and I think that hurt of all those defeats against Ireland is something they can really harness and something they can tap into. Because while Ireland, I suppose, have this reputation of being, I suppose, ruthlessly efficient and maybe potentially boringly efficient, I think the Scots can almost hang on to that emotion of this, trying to just get one over us at last.
Yeah, 100%. And I think even for some of these Irish players that maybe haven't played at this level, I know there's probably more of them on the bench, or you look at your Prendergasts, when you get to Murrayfield and you hear Flower of Scotland, and
we were just talking about that last weekend, weren't we?
Exactly. It's one of the finest things, like, to hear. And I mean, like, you have a cauldron of tens of thousands of people urging you on. It's such a tough place to go. And let's not forget, the Scots almost did us at home and nearly ruined our Six Nations win last year. So they're certainly a side in form and with a big point to prove and something to prove against Ireland.
Yeah, and despite them building up that lead, I suppose, over Italy at stages last weekend, Italy made them work hard for that win.
Yeah, and Italy are improving. I think last year showed that as well with their wins. And I think that they want to really establish themselves as, you know, definitely that fifth best team with the way Wales are going as well. But no, they made Scotland work hard. And I think that is good for Scotland, though, as well, not to have had a big, heavy win going into this. You know, they definitely have places to improve all across the board as well. But they'll definitely be looking at that Irish side and thinking that they can hurt them.
Finn Russell, when he is on form, he is such a key player for them, but he didn't have the best weekend last weekend. I think in that match, he coughed up turnover and he missed three tackles, I think it was. But if he clicks on the day, he's a real threat.
He really is. And you have to say that about Finn, whether he's playing at club level or at international level. If you get him on his day, you know, there's no doubt that he's the best 10 in the world for me. And I think that's going to go into, you know, the Lions this summer as well. Is that going to be something that Andy Farrow picks and chooses with? Because when he is on form, he is streets ahead of the other options as well. But, you know, it's actually about getting him in the mood and ready to go for it. But I think he'll be licking his lips at the chance to be coming up against either a Jack Crowley or a Sam Prendergast, and, you know, really showing them what it's like being a test international number 10.
Welcome back. Well, the indoor track season is starting to ramp up this week. The European Indoor Championships are coming up in Apeldoorn in the Netherlands in March. And of course, the big one this year is the World Championships in Tokyo in September. Now, our next guest on the show has graced all the big championships as well as three Olympic Games. And if I was to go through Tom Barr's achievements, I could be here for quite some time. But among them is a European gold medal at last year's European Championships in the mixed 4x4 relay in Rome, bronze in the mixed relay in the World Relay Championships in the Bahamas, fourth in the Rio Olympic Games, and a bronze medal at the European Championships in 2018 when he became the first Irish male sprinter to win an outdoor European medal in the 84-year history of the event. Let's have a listen to how he did it.
Pass in a big battle for the bronze medal, the moment with Ballard over the last. It's Warham who's got the head of Capello. It looks like Barr's going to get the bronze. Barr gets the bronze. Barr gets the European bronze.
Fantastic. Magnificent.
Tom, thanks so much for joining us today. We were all there on Wednesday having our lunch, congratulating ourselves and getting through January almost, thinking we're almost home and hosed. February is coming, a bright new dawn. And then you drop your retirement. Epic, I have to call it an epic, on us. I'm going to figure that you actually had time yourself to come to terms with it all, mainly because of how long the video was and how long it must have taken you to edit it. So how long, first of all, did it take you to edit that feckin' video?
I pulled an all-nighter the night before I put up the video. We kind of said around 1 o'clock we were going to put out the announcement, and I'd filmed a lot of it already, and then I started the editing process like the evening before, and it just went on into the night, and I think it was about maybe 10 o'clock in the morning that I finally finished it, went to sleep for a few hours, and then and then sent it out into the stratosphere. But it was definitely well worth it. It was 100% worth it, because there was so much. Like, you were right. I definitely needed that. I needed the last couple of months to kind of come to terms with it, think about all of the things that were good and bad within the sport that I really enjoyed and that I was walking away from, to make sure that I wanted to walk away from it. And then as I was going through photos and videos over the years to look at, like, say where I've come from, and to get ready to put stuff into the sort of the video that I was putting together, I got very sort of nostalgic and kind of appreciated the effort and the work that so many people have put in along the way on a voluntary basis with me. It was it's been some journey.
Absolutely. The reaction has been phenomenal from every corner, not only of Ireland, but of the world. There's Karsten saying we're going to miss you and everything. Like, yeah. So what have you felt like getting all that reaction? Has been a bit overwhelming? Or?
Honestly, it's been very overwhelming. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. My phone hasn't stopped for the last 2 or 3 days. But it's all been so positive. And it's made me appreciate everybody that's been a part of the journey so much more. I've received some of the kindest and nicest messages that I think I've ever received. And there's not been one... Often there's one or two kind of trolls thrown in there, but I haven't spotted one. If there was, it's been so overwhelmingly positive that I'm trying to take the time to respond or react to all of them, but there's just so many coming in, which is just, it's amazing. And it's a lot of the messages have been kind of, while it's been about, you know, remembering the performances, a lot of them have been about, say, like, even just the fact that I did it with a smile on my face, or that people can remember and pinpoint times where I met them and chatted to them after some event, or signed a singlet, or signed a, a spike for their child, and like those kind of messages are all coming through too, which means so much more to me than remembering a performance or what it was that I managed to do on the track.